Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Mean more like Jesus. The path to becoming more like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a reason why I preach the way I do. There's a reason why I teach the things that I teach. Because I have come to understand that my role as a pastor is to equip you.
If you say, "Obete yasi yase," na said yeso so for ni se obeshe wotene.
To equip you with the knowledge.
Oh, nimdim.
With the understanding.
Enti yasi emu.
With the wisdom.
Eni nyansa.
And the revelation that you need.
Eni eti yewu hia.
For you to experience all the blessings that God has prepared for you. Look with me at Ephesians chapter
4.
And reading from verse
11.
Thank you, Jesus. Now the Bible says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And so, your apostle, your prophet, your evangelist, your pastor, your teacher, it's a gift from God to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What am I?
Maybe you want.
Of the five things that were listed, who do men say that I am? A pastor and a teacher. Somebody says, I am all. How exciting. But essentially, I'm a pastor and a teacher. By the grace of God, I may operate in some of the other ministry offices. But primarily, I am a pastor. And that is why I insist that you should call me pastor. But there are some rebellious people among you. And the chief rebel is the one who laughed the hardest. Abdana, they say it's Bishop that they will call me. And I've just resigned myself to it. But the rest of you, don't be like them. Call me what I want to be called by. So what's my name? Rebellious ones. Now look at the next verse. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. And build up the church, the body of Christ. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Who are God's people? Say, we are. So who are God's people? And what is my work, therefore? To equip you. Amen. That means to give you everything that you need so that you can do God's work and help to build his church. Ask your neighbor, what are you doing to build the church of God? This one, they demand an answer. There are some people, when you ask them anything, they just look at you blandly. They don't want to answer. Tell them that, my friend, this one answer. What are you doing to build the church of God? And if you are sitting by somebody who is not answering, lift up your hand so that I can come to the person and bring the microphone to the person. You are sitting by somebody like that. You see your face? At least he's playing drums. So why are you facing him? So my work is to equip you. That's why I share the things I share with you. And that's why I teach the word of God the way I do. I don't do a lot of take it, receive it. I don't do a lot of that. I believe in it though. I believe in it. But I understand what my work is. It is to equip you. When it is time to say, take it. When it's time to say, arise, save it. You will take it. And you will receive it. But my primary duty is to equip you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
If you have somebody who keeps coming to you asking you for fish. You have two options. One is to always give him fish. Ask your neighbor, what's your favorite fish? Salmon. Emani. Red fish. Green fish. Black fish. Tilapia. If you have somebody who keeps coming to you asking you, I want fish. You have an option to always give the person fish. But the greatest service you can do the person is to show the person how to catch his own fish. And that is my work. Amen. To equip you with what you need to make you victorious in this life. So anytime you come to church, remind yourself that I am coming to be equipped with what I need in order to enjoy the blessings of God and to live a victorious life. Can somebody say an amen to that?
Amen.
And today's sermon, the path to becoming more like Jesus, is to equip you and to help you to become more like Jesus and to understand what path you need to walk on so that you can become like him. I may or may not finish. But there's no struggle. If I don't finish, I will continue next week. How many think that it's a good arrangement? Hallelujah. The path to becoming more like Jesus. Let's read some scriptures, shall we? Matthew chapter 28. Reading from verse 16. Show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. Show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my hope 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. So how many disciples were here? 11 minus 1. Unfortunately, one fell by the side of the road. You will never fall by the side of the road. Wherever you're supposed to be to the end, may you always be there.
Amen.
Anything that will cut short your Christian experience, we forbid it in the name of Jesus. And may you always make it to the very end.
Amen.
Receive the spirit of the overcomer.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Listen to me, my friend. God is not angry with you because sometimes you struggle to believe. How many of you sometimes you struggle to believe? How many of you have doubts sometimes? God is not upset with you. He understands. It is better to believe and to have doubts occasionally than not to believe at all. So even if your faith is like the mustard seed, it will move the mountains in your life. By the power that is in the name of Jesus, I command every mountain in your life to be moved.
Amen.
I command every obstacle in your life to be cleared off.
Amen.
I command every stumbling block to crumble.
Amen.
I command every blockade to disappear.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Next verse. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations. Go and make what? Go and make what? He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples. Teach who? Say that again. Say it one more time. Teach these new disciples. Have you seen that word there again? Disciples. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Another scripture I want us to look at. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Why is this little one not in Sunday school? Hey, A lizard has come to church. I need cats. If you have, the fence will, they know how to dodge them. I need cats. It's not part of the sermon. I have a need and I'm sharing with you. If you have good cats, I need about three. Yes. Because there are some lizards that have been worrying us in the church. Amen.
Amen.
What scripture did I ask you to turn to again?
Luke chapter 6.
Luke chapter 6.
Luke chapter 6.
And verse 40. Luke 6:40.
Luke 6:40.
Students are not greater than their
teacher.
But the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. The student. The student. Who is fully trained. Will become like the teacher. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So take note of this last sentence. The student. Will become like the teacher. And in the earlier scripture we looked at in Matthew 28, it talked about disciples. So don't lose sight of these two things. Now listen to me. Anything that you want to become in this life, or anything you want to achieve in this life, there is a path you must follow. Is it true? Are you sure it's true? Should I say it again? Anything you want to become in this life, and anything you want to achieve in this life, there is a path to follow to achieve it. Let's test it. Let's test the statement and see whether it's true. If you want to become a medical doctor in Ghana, there is a path you have to follow. Is that not so? I didn't say if you want to become a herbalist. Neither did I say if you want to become a lotto doctor. I said a medical doctor. There is a path that you have to follow. So in Ghana, typically, if you want to become a medical doctor, how do you become the doctor? Yes, yes. Go to school. So you go to junior high school. You write your BEC. You must pass well. Then you go where? Senior high school. Then you write which exam? WASI. And that one too, you must pass well. If you pass well, then you go where?
University.
You go to the university. You go to medical school. No, but before that, in a senior high school, you have to become a science student. By all means, you must do physics. Chemistry. Biology. And I think elective math or something like that.
Yeah.
So you cannot say, I want to be a doctor. So I'm going to do home economics. It doesn't work. You have to do science. And then you have to pass well. And then you go to any of the universities that have a medical school. Like University of Ghana. Or KNUST. Or University of Cape Coast. The first 3 years, you do theory. You learn physiology. Anatomy. Biochemistry. And all these things that they learn. First 3 years,
theory.
After that, you do another 3 years.
Now, what's
which is more of practicals, in a teaching hospital, like Kolebu, Konfuanoche, Tamale. For once, you've said something that is correct. And then the Cape Coast Teaching Hospital. So these are the teaching hospitals. And for 3 years, you have to be there. Pass all your exams. After that, once you pass your exam, you will graduate. And they will give you a temporary license. You haven't finished though. Then you do house job, which is internship for 2 years. If you successfully complete that, then you have a permanent certificate to become a medical officer. Now it's up to you what you want to do after this. Whether you're going to progress and specialize, or you tell yourself, baby, I may do it. You just sit in a hospital and share paracetamol, chloroquine, and all of that. So that is the path. That is the path to become a medical doctor. Is it easy to understand? Evelyn, do you understand?
Yes, your honor. Yes.
Or you want to become a lawyer? Do you want to become a lawyer? Ebe. So what do you want to become? She said what? Businesswoman. An entrepreneur. If you want to become a lawyer, you go, you must write your BEC, go to senior high school, and then you must do arts.
So your art.
Eh? You can do any of them, but usually those who know that, that's what they, I mean, if you know that I want to be a lawyer, what are you going to do science for? Do you see? It's those who don't know. You go and do science, then as they move forward, it's like, I'll do again. How to be a lawyer, do you see? So, that one too, you must do well, pass all your exams. Then, you must gain admission to the law faculty in any of the universities that have, whether public or private. Is that not so? Go to the law faculty. You are going to be there for 3 years or 4 years. That one will come. After that, you get your LLB. My daughter, that too. You get your LLB. And your D, B.
B.
Then, after that, if you are serious,
I
really, really want to become a lawyer. From you must pass your exams well. Then now you must go to either Makola or Kejetia. You go to where?
Makola.
Makola or Kejetia. I beg you. The Kejetia thing, there's no law school at Kejetia. It's all at Makola. Okay. And that one too, you are going to be there for 3 years. You go through, then after that, you become a lawyer. So that is the path. Is that not so? Oh, is that not so?
Sir.
Come in this life. There is a path that you must follow. And there's a way that you must go on. Now, our theme for this year is what? Becoming more like Jesus. That is our theme for this year. And from the beginning of the year, from our 31st night, you know, throughout the first few weeks of the year, I have shared with you different things about becoming more like Jesus. Is that not so? So I try to explain to you what it means to become like Jesus.
And
then we've also looked at steps to becoming more like Jesus. I think we spent 4 weeks on just the steps alone. But what I'm sharing with you today is showing you the path. You know the steps, but the steps must be taken on a certain path that will lead you to the objective of becoming more like Jesus. So the question is, what is the path? What is the way? How many of you would like to know the path? How many of you would like to know the way to becoming more like Jesus? Remember that my responsibility is to equip you, to give you all the information that you need, the wisdom and the revelation that will help you to become what God wants you to become, and that will help you to achieve what God wants you to achieve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in order to become more like Jesus, there is a path we must follow. And that path is called discipleship. That path is called discipleship. So, what is the path to becoming more like Jesus? I can't hear you, Look, when I ask the question, it's not a rhetorical question. No. I actually need an answer. So I say, what is the path to becoming more like Jesus? Discipleship. Everybody say, discipleship. That is the path that we must go on to become more like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, discipleship in general terms is the process of making someone a disciple. It is the process of making someone a disciple. That is what discipleship is. And who is a disciple? The dictionary defines a disciple as a pupil or student of the doctrines of another. So a disciple is a student. A disciple is a pupil. A disciple is also a learner who follows a master teacher. So that's who a disciple is. If you like Chinese films, a lot of Chinese films have a concept of master and disciple. So there's a kung fu expert. Kung fu expert. I know one or two kung fu moves, but they are all theory. So you see, there's a master, and then there's a disciple. And in a lot of Chinese films, the master will teach the disciple certain things. Then maybe they'll kill the master. Then the disciple will come and say, "Master, Master, Master." Julius, you are so silly. Eh? Then now the disciple will now work on himself. Sometimes he goes to get another master who will show him some other tricks. Then you go and fight the one who killed his original master. Then tell, you killed my master. You killed my master. Ah, then they start fighting. So a lot of Chinese films. That's all there is about it. Yeah. It's not difficult to understand, is it? So if you haven't watched the Chinese film before, I've explained the concept of a lot of Chinese films. So a disciple is a student. It's a learner. It's a follower. So a disciple is like an apprentice. So if you want to become an auto mechanic, you have to become an apprentice. Is that not so? If you want to become a hairdresser, usually what do people do? They become apprentices. If you want to become a fashion designer, you have to become an apprentice. You go to school. Well, there are a lot of people. No, it's part of the school. Yeah, it's part of the school. So if you want to be an auto mechanic, you find yourself a master. Is that not so? Then you go there. And then the master is supposed to teach you what he knows. And then understand that the purpose of the apprenticeship is to follow your boss or your madam. The way she does her things. The way he does his things. You're supposed to learn as much as you can from him or her. Until you get to a point where you become like them. So what they are doing, you are able to do it. So the best apprentice is the one who has become very much like his boss or her madam. That is what the apprenticeship is all about. So really, when we say somebody is an apprentice, the person is a disciple. I am taking my time to explain these things to you because it's leading me somewhere. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But obviously, we are not interested in auto mechanics. Neither are we interested in sewing dresses or metal works. We are interested in discipleship. Discipleship. And we are interested in discipleship from a Christian perspective. Remember what I've said and established from the very beginning. That the path to becoming more like Jesus is discipleship. So discipleship from a Christian perspective is the process of making someone a disciple of Jesus. It is the process of making someone a disciple of Jesus. And it is that path that will cause the person to become like Jesus. So to become a disciple, you must go through discipleship. And in going through discipleship, something very profound will happen to you. You will end up becoming more and more like Jesus. What it means, therefore, is that if you are not a disciple, or if you do not become a disciple, you can never become like Jesus. If you are not a disciple, and if you don't become become a disciple, you can never become like Jesus. Let's talk a bit more about discipleship. In the scripture that I shared with you from Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he came and told who? His disciples. Then he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Then he says, therefore, go and do what? Make who?
Disciples.
Make who? Make who again?
Disciples.
Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these who? Abba, teach who? The new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. You see that word there again, disciples. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many have heard this scripture before? There is a name that is given to this scripture. There's a summary that is used to refer to this scripture. What is it called? Say it again. Say it again. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. And this Great Commission is for who? For all of us. It is for all of us. Please look into the face of your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, excuse me. The Great Commission is for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to draw your attention to something that a lot of Christians don't know or don't believe in, or they've just ignored it. This Great Commission is an assignment to make disciples. That's what the Great Commission is about. It's about making who?
Disciples.
Disciples. And you and I have been called by God and saved by God to become what? Disciples. Think about it. And the core mission of the church is to make what?
Disciples.
Disciples. Now, the mistake that a lot of Christians make is that we think that the Great Commission is just about witnessing. It's just about winning souls. It's about inviting people to church. It is part of it. But that's not the Great Commission in its entirety. Actually, the Great Commission is to make disciples. And that word disciple is from a Greek word, mathetes. It is spelled M-A-T-H-E-T-I-S. Mathetes. It's a Greek word. And that word means student. It means learner. It means follower. And that is what the Great Commission is about. That is what our salvation is about. That God has saved us to become disciples. It's our salvation is a call to discipleship. It is not just an experience for us to enjoy the benefits of salvation alone. What are the benefits of salvation? Forgiveness of sins. Become a brand new person. Your name is written in the book of life. When you die, you end up in heaven. Healing. Deliverance. These are benefits of salvation. But the mistake that most of us make is we think that our salvation is just about that. The main objective of our salvation is to make us students, learners, followers, disciples. That's what it is. And the error in the church today is that we think that there are Christians and there are disciples. So usually when we talk about disciples, people are thinking of overzealous Christians. The audacious ones. That's what we think. But what we don't understand is that is what all of us have been called to become. To become disciples. That is why when you read your Bible, you will discover that the word disciple or disciples in the New Testament of the Bible, you will find it 269 times. But the word Christian or Christians, you will find it only 3 times. But everywhere else, the followers of Jesus, the believers, those in the way, they were referred to as disciples. Disciples. Learners. Students. Followers. Along the line, when Christianity spread across the world, then that term Christian started being used. And the first time that word Christian was used was in a place called Antioch. Because they looked at the believers there. They looked at the disciples there. Because they kept propagating the news about Christ, and because they exhibited Christ-like characters, they were referred to as Christians. But all through the New Testament, the term that is used to describe believers is disciples. And that's what all of us are supposed to become. Disciples. People who are following the life, the teachings, and the mission of Christ. So they are following the life, the teachings, and the ministry of Christ until they become like him. That is who a disciple is. You are following the life of Christ. What he did. How he lived. You are imitating him. How he handled situations. You are trying to catch the spirit that he had. You are trying to have the heart that he had. That is what discipleship is about. And then not just that, you follow his teachings, his instructions. Because remember, a disciple is a learner. Is a student. Is a follower. So you follow the life. You follow the teachings. And then you follow the ministry. Or the mission of Christ. And as you are going through all of that, he is working on you. And changing you. And transforming you to become more like him. To become more like Jesus, therefore, the path is discipleship. And I say to you again, my friends, that we can never become like Jesus until we embrace the concept of discipleship. And move away from this kind of nominal Christianity that we have been pursuing, where it's like you are a Christian just in name and in form, but you are not a student. You are not a pupil. You are not a learner. You are not a follower. You are just a Christian by name and by form. But for many of us, there is nothing about us that shows that we are disciples. But that is the path to becoming more like Jesus. If you don't become a disciple, you will never become more like Jesus. And I want us to move away from that thing of just coming to church and going. You come to pray a bit, dance, worship God, give an offering, listen to a powerful sermon, pray, give your tithe, go home, and that's it. So ask yourself, what is it about me that will make somebody look at me and say that this guy is a disciple of Christ? How can you say you are learning how to bake cake, but there is nothing about baking cake around you? No flour. No sugar. No incense. No baking pans. Essence, sorry. No essence. It's okay. I don't bake cake, so if I'm calling essence incense, it's not a problem. You can never call me a cake baker. You say you are learning how to bake cake. Atomo. There's never a time that we've come to you. You are chained atomo. Atomo. This is how it's actually changing. Yes, it's changing. You say you are learning how to bake and do these things. No akomo. No meat pie. No cake. No bofrut. No oven. No spring rolls. No samosa. Samosa. I hope that all these things that you are mentioning, you know how to do. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? And it's a very serious message I'm sharing with you. We say we want to become like Jesus. And the path to becoming more like Jesus is discipleship. So ask yourself, what sense of discipleship is around me? When people come into contact with me, do they smell anything about discipleship? The way I pray, the way I'm committed, the way I study the Bible, the way I come to church, the way I give, the way I help in the church. When people come into contact with us, can they smell anything about Christ and discipleship around us? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. And if they cannot, then what it means is that we are far from becoming like Jesus. Because the path, the only path to becoming more like Jesus is the path of discipleship. And if we are serious about becoming more like Jesus, then the only path we have to step on is the path of discipleship. God is calling out to all of us today that it's time that we get very serious with God and stop the games that we are playing with. We can't say we are disciples when we are not constantly and regularly drawing others to Christ. Who have we brought to church? Who are we following up? Who are we trying to disciple? Who are we trying to ground in the faith? And we say we are what? Disciples? We are not. But this is God calling to all of us. And this message that I'm sharing with you, I promise you that God will remind all of us one day. Mark my words somewhere that one day God will remind you that I sent my servants to tell you this. What did you do with it? I pray that today, as a result of this message, something will change in your heart. Something will change in your mind about this whole Christianity business. That there will be a shift from a nominal kind of Christianity into a type of Christianity that is about discipleship, where you are following Jesus in truth. You are following his life and you are committed to his mission. His mission of saving the lost at any cost. May the Holy Spirit give us more insight,
amen,
into what we have heard today.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Rise to your feet and let us close. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you for today.
Jesus.
And thank you for your word that has come forth.
Amen.
Our hearts have been pricked.
Amen.
We recognize that this is the truth of your word.
Jesus.
That we've turned your calling into something else.
Jesus.
When it is about becoming disciples, following Christ, following his life, following his teachings, committing to his mission, and pressing on until we become like him. That is what it is about. We are sorry for turning it into something else. But Father, without you, we can do nothing. And I pray that you will help us. And that's where your spirit comes in. Holy Spirit, please help our infirmities, help our weaknesses, help our struggles. Many of us, we want to do it, but there's something that is holding us back, something that is limiting us. Sometimes it is this world, the curse of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Sometimes they crowd out what we are supposed to do and what we are supposed to be in you. Father, please help us. We want to please you. We want to serve you. We want to make you happy. And we can only do that by becoming real and true disciples. Help us, oh God, to achieve this. In the name of Jesus. Let there be a transformation in our hearts today. As we go from here, let your word continue ringing in our hearts and in our spirits. Let there be a remarkable change and transformation in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you're here today. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the first step to discipleship. And you want to receive Jesus into your heart. I want to pray with you. If you're here and don't know Jesus as Lord, but you want to have that experience and you want to become his disciple, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. For those of you watching, you need Jesus in your heart. You can also lift up your hand where you are and let me pray with you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Let's say, Heavenly Father, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I'll be your follower. I'll be your disciple. Please write my name in the book of life. Help me by your spirit to follow you and to live for you. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.